Have you ever wondered what it would be like to be on call for your photography clients, get the call in the middle of the night that you needed to pack your bags and go? Well, today, my guest knows exactly what that's like. My guest, Tavia Redburn, is a wonderful birth photographer, and she is here today to talk about birth photography and what that means for the photographers and the services that you offer. Tavia is an incredible newborn and birth photographer located in the Oklahoma City area, and she also has a podcast and a wonderful service that can help you grow your photography business if you want to specialize in this niche of birth photography. I loved having my friend Tavia on the podcast today, and I know that you're going to love this conversation. So welcome to the Focal Points Podcast. Welcome to Focal Points, an end photo podcast hosted by Dori Howell. This is the place to be to learn how to build a photography business that you love. All right, welcome to the Focal Points podcast brought to you by End Photo Lab. And I'm really excited, like you heard from the introduction, to welcome my friend Tavia Redburn to the podcast today. Welcome, Tavia.
Thank you, Dori. I'm super excited to be here.
Yeah. Well, I want to tell a little story about you and how we met for the very first time, because I don't think this is a story that too many people can copy. But we were at a conference in Laguna Beach, California with a mentor, and I was in line for the bathroom, and I was coming out of the bathroom stall, and Tavia was in line, and she's like, "Dori, I know you," and introduced herself and said, "We need to connect," and all that thing, all of that. And I'd been watching her from afar for a very long time, and we just never made that connection happen. And recently, through some mutual friends of ours, we actually made that connection happen. And it's been so great to get to know her and to learn more about her business and how she helps photographers and also how she helps her clients. So I'm really excited that we're able to do this today and finally just kind of solidify what was started very, very briefly in that hotel bathroom, I think at a Hyatt in Laguna or Irvine. It was in Irvine, right?
Yes, it was. Yeah, we met in the bathroom. That's so great. I love it.
So I invited Tavia to join us today because Tavia is a birth photographer, and she has and serves a niche of photography that a lot of us hear about, but maybe don't know too much about. And I'm raising my hand because I am 100% that person. So first of all, Tavia, before we get started in talking about birth photography, why don't you tell me a little bit how you got into this and a little bit about your backstory?
Sure. So I started out in photography in 2009 when every single suburban mom was getting a camera, like a DSLR, you know, and becoming a mom tog. I was one of those people. And I was loving photography, learning photography, shooting everything I possibly could that people would pay me, you know, $50, $100 for. And I was figuring out what niche I really enjoyed. So I was photographing seniors, I was photographing families, I was photographing babies. And I had heard about birth photography when I was expecting my second son. This was 2011, so not a lot of people knew about birth photography. It wasn't as popular as it is now, but I was planning a VBAC with my son, which those in the birth world are very familiar with. And I knew I wanted a photographer for that. So I hired a photographer and was induced on a Monday morning. And my son was born on Tuesday night. So we called the photographer to come Tuesday afternoon. And she said she couldn't come because she didn't have childcare. Because she thought because I was being induced on a Monday, I was going to have my baby on Monday. And it took a lot longer than that. And so in the moment, of course, I was just like, whatever, like I'm giving birth, didn't care a ton. Afterwards, though, was when it really sunk in of this person was not prepared to be a birth photographer. This person did not really understand what it takes to be on call and really kind of put your life on hold to be there for your clients in a unique way that you don't have to do for a lot of other genres of photography. Mm-hmm. And so it was then that I had my business and I was trying to figure out what I wanted to specialize in that I thought, I think I want to be a birth photographer. And 6 months later, I photographed my very first birth in January of 2012. And I was immediately hooked on everything about it. I loved that it was very like photojournalistic. I didn't have to direct people. I didn't have to tell anybody what to do. I was just there to capture everything as it was happening. And there was something so unique and special about it because so many people, of course, invest in wedding photography, but when it comes to birth photography, it's just not something that people consider, but it's such an important day in your life. So that is kind of the long story of how I got started as a birth photographer.
That's great. That's great. So when you made that pivot, and I'm sorry you didn't get those images of your child. That is heartbreaking to know that such a milestone was missed. And I'm sure you think about that often when you're serving your clients and how you want to do a great job for them. I think that really, really hits home how important our job is. And when people are relying on us for any sort of event, not, I mean, it could be a newborn session, it could be a wedding, it could be a cake smash. But when we make these appointments with our clients, it's a big deal to them. And when you aren't prepared to treat them professionally, it reflects very poorly on you. I'm sure you've never referred her any business. She may not even be in business by now. But that's a huge, huge thing when we're considering any of our genres. So how did you go about finding the first family that would let you into that incredibly intimate space to photograph their birth?
Yeah, great question, because it was actually my cousin. So I feel okay. Like that's kind of like a cop-out answer. But that comes up a lot with photographers is like, how do I find somebody? Because I recommend you do not do this for free. Mm-hmm. Whether you're mm-hmm. charging a small amount of money or even charging something that you refund to them when you deliver the photos, mm-hmm. charge something because it gets the client invested and involved in the experience.
Right.
So my first client happened to be my cousin. My first client that was not someone related to me, I found through birth networking groups. And so that's okay. something that I suggest to clients all the time is like getting involved in your local birth community, whether that's large or small, mm-hmm. just getting to know people, because that's how I got my very first client that was not somebody that I knew previously, which was actually my third birth photography client.
Okay. All right. So one thing I've always wondered about birth photography and how a photographer actually manages this is exactly what you just said in your personal story, is the fact that it seems like as a birth photographer, you need to be on call for sometimes for maybe a couple days before you actually get called in and the action starts and you're doing everything. So to me, that means that birth photography should be pretty expensive. Mm-hmm. So how do you suggest people handle that?
It should be expensive. I agree, because you are putting your life on hold. And I actually was on call longer than a few days. I was on call from 38 weeks gestation until they had their baby. So I was actually on call for more like 3 weeks, sometimes longer. I used to be on call from 37 weeks until birth and shortened that time frame. I think that there are different ways that you can go about it, because if you're somebody who's like, I don't want to be on call, but I want to photograph birth, consider partnering up with somebody where you mm-hmm. share that on call time, or potentially you tell your clients, I'm available during these specific days. So I have I have students who work full time and they want to get into birth photography. And I think there are ways to navigate that as long as you keep communication really clear and really open with your clients. And you mm-hmm. just say, hey, I have a full-time job. I will be unavailable from 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. So if mm-hmm. you happen to go into labor during that time, I will send a backup photographer that I work with, or I will send my business partner, those kind of things. So I think that when it comes to birth photography, it's really thinking ahead about the unknowns and mm-hmm. communicating that clearly with your clients ahead of time so that there's no surprises and nobody leaves the situation disappointed.
Yeah, I think that's key. And I also think from a client perspective, I have a hard time believing that most clients wouldn't be understanding of the fact that you can't be on call for 2 weeks, 3 weeks at the drop of a hat, especially when most of us have families, we have responsibilities, we have other things that we need to attend to. Luckily, births usually don't happen in half an hour for most people. So you have time to navigate all that. But I love the idea of being totally open with the communication and keeping that open with your clients so that you have that mutual understanding of there are some limits here mm-hmm. of what's going to happen, and then partnering up with someone else so you guys can cover each other's. And that's not a normal thing in our industry to find people to do that because there's some possession involved of whose client it is. Mm-hmm. But you have a professional duty that if you can't be there, you need to try and find a replacement. That's just
absolutely.
That's just the way that is. So what would your advice be, or what are some things that photographers should know if they're looking to get into this genre? Can I let you in on a little secret? Now, I know we've just totally interrupted the podcast, and we're going to get back to everything in just a minute, but I want to share with you my very favorite option from Enfoto that my clients love, and it's what they call their complete set. And it's a 3-in-1 combination product that includes an album or a dream book or photo book, a box, and a USB. And you don't have to get the USB, but my clients love having everything all together in one place. And I love the presentation that I can wrap it up in a beautiful bag and just hand it to them. And it's everything that they wanted from their portrait session with me. It's practical, it's a contemporary product, and the complete sets please both print lovers and digital lovers because it includes the best of both worlds. You can tailor this product to meet your needs, and it creates a stunning photo set that will absolutely show your work off in the best way possible. Now, here's the secret. Do you want to get a 75% sample? Are you new to Enfoto and you're not too sure exactly where to start? Head over to the show notes page, click on my special link, and you can get a special 75% discount and a discount on further purchases for the next calendar year that is unprecedented in our industry. You don't want to miss out on this. Go check out that discount today.
Definitely all the on-call stuff that we just talked about. Like, mm-hmm. How long are you going to be on call for your client? What does it look like if you can't make it to the birth for some reason? If you have an emergency, if you have a portrait client, if you have a full-time job, and really just thinking ahead about some of the what-if type scenarios when it comes to getting to the birth. Mm-hmm. Something else to consider, though, is how long are you going to stay at the birth? Because mm-hmm. if you're anything like me, I shared my story. I was in labor for 36 hours. So are you going to be at the birth for 36 hours? And what I teach is no, you don't need to be there the entire time. So what I teach my students is to plan to arrive in active labor and have detailed discussions with your clients about what that looks like, because mm-hmm. everybody's birth is different. Everybody, you know, active labor looks different for everybody. So really having an in-depth pre-consultation with your clients to understand their birth history. Do they understand physiological birth well enough to be able to communicate with you to know when to come to the birth? And so mm-hmm. also how long to stay at the birth, considering, and I usually stay 2 hours after the birth to photograph things like, you know, other family members meeting the baby and weighing and measuring the baby and that kind of a thing. So mm-hmm. I think the two things to think about are the on-call piece as well as how long are you going to stay at the birth?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think also that's really like you have to be in communication with your client during this time. And so who's going to be responsible for that? Because it's not going to be the mom. She's busy. And it mm-hmm. may not be dad, because some dads just can't, like, that's just too much stuff. So is it another family member? Is it someone else who's going to keep you involved in the situation? And for me, we didn't even tell anybody that we were going to the hospital, you know, because everybody would have maybe wanted to be there, or we just didn't want to navigate that at all. So whenever I hear mom say, well, oh, you know, I want this family member there, I don't want this family member there or something, I said, well, there's a really easy way to avoid having people there. You don't tell them until after the baby's born. But my husband would not have been, had we had a birth photographer, he probably would not have been the best at that communication of the timing and all of that, because he was concentrating on me and what was happening. Mm-hmm. So I could see how maybe a third party being responsible for that would be something that might be helpful, depending on the dynamic of the family and who's going to be there and everything. So did birth photography make a major shift with COVID?
And yes.
And permissions and so forth within hospitals?
Yes. Is it okay if I jump back and talk about the person involved in the communication a little bit? Because I think that is an important piece. I actually primarily communicate with mom. And then whenever she gets to a point where she can't communicate anymore, I'll shift to dad mm-hmm. or whoever else is there, mm-hmm. like the doula or maybe the mom's mom, whoever her support person is, I'll shift to communicating with them. But I will say that I take that responsibility on in the pre-consultation to communicate with them and equip them to understand what I'm looking for in communication from them throughout the process. And so I don't expect them to know how to communicate with me because it's new for them. It's not new for me. And so I let them know, you know, I might bug you a little bit with communication. Like you might be going to the hospital and I might want details and I'm going to text you or call you and ask, what is the hospital staff saying? What is the nurse saying? Have they checked her yet? Like all kinds of different things. And so I, as the birth photographer being experienced in birth and understanding these things, kind of take the reins on that a little bit and direct the client how they need to go in order for me to get there when I need to get there.
I love that. I tell people all the time, like, we do this all the time. It doesn't matter what genre you have. We do this all the time. We know what we need from our clients, and it's our job to communicate that to them so that they understand all the expectations and how you're going to be able to take control of the situation. We can't assume that our clients know how this all works. And so being the one to communicate to them is super, super great. Okay. So back to the question I threw in there in the middle.
Yes.
How did COVID impact hospital permissions and your birth photography business?
Yeah, it impacted it significantly because for a lot of photographers worldwide, they were only allowing at some points zero visitors, including the partner was not allowed in. Then they started opening it back up to one visitor, two visitors. A lot of hospitals now, at least in my area and in the US for the most part, are allowing three plus, two to three, you know, and one of those can be your photographer, or they can swap out. Like the photographer can come, then the, you know, mom of the mom can come, that kind of a thing. But in the beginning, it was significant because I had a lot of clients on the books whose births I couldn't photograph anymore because I wasn't allowed in. And so we really quickly had to think about how can we still serve these people if we're not allowed in? Because things were changing so rapidly that for
sometimes
all I knew,
hourly. Right. It felt like sometimes hourly.
Yeah. And so for all I knew, in an hour, it could change again and I would be allowed in. So what we did with our clients, and this is what I told my students to do as well, is to think about your plan A option with your client, but also come up with a plan B and a plan C. So of course, our plan A is for me to be there to photograph the birth. Plan B might look like what we developed called a coming home session, which was a brand new type of session born out of necessity during COVID, where we meet the family at the hospital after they've had the baby and follow them home to photograph other family members meeting the baby for the first time. So we created a whole new session type that we wouldn't have otherwise because of COVID, because we had to. So I think just communicating, and that's good advice, like whether you're photographing anything, but specifically birth, what's the plan A option? And if that doesn't work out, what is plan B and what is plan C? So that again, even with something like COVID, there's really no surprises. There's not going to be people who don't know what's going on. It's like, oh, well, Tavia said, if I have a C-section, for example, this is what's going to happen. Like an unexpected C-section, this is what's going to happen. So just communicating those things ahead of time so that they know what to expect and you know what to expect.
Right. Like I can imagine. So where you're coming home sessions, more of like capturing mom being coming out of the hospital, getting into the car, like all of that kind of stuff, which isn't normally documented probably, but it's an important part of the story. Like, and I think most moms can probably very vividly remember being wheeled out of the hospital, putting their baby in the car seat for the first time, all of that, all of those things. And that's something that doesn't get documented. So I love that. I love that having a plan B. So what are some of the misconceptions that people have about birth photography?
Ooh. So I think that when people hear birth photography, they think birth. They think crowning images. You know what I mean? Like they think the actual moment of birth.
Like the moment.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's so funny to me because like you said, it's so common to me photographing birth for so long. I'm like, how do people still think that's what birth photography is? But it never fails. I will introduce myself as a birth photographer and people without, never fails, will say, why do people want photos of that? People want photos of that. People pay you for photos of that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, listen, it's not photos of that. And I will like bust out my phone and I'll show them
of
my
that,
portfolio
quote unquote,
or I'll show
of
them.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, it's not that. It can be if if families want that, but that is not my go-to. And that's what mm-hmm. I always tell people is I am focused on the emotion of the day in the same way that, you know, wedding photography is not just the exact moment of like signing the marriage certificate, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. It's all about the day and it's leading up to the moment of getting married. And of course, yes, the moment of getting married, but it's also the celebration afterwards. And it's just such an important day that you forget so many details of, so similarly to wedding photography. And so when mm-hmm. I paint that parallel of wedding photography, whether it's to photographers or to consumers and clients, it starts to click in people's heads and they start mm-hmm. to realize like, you know what, you're right. There are a lot of things I don't remember about my baby's birthday. I don't remember, you know, a lot, especially the person giving birth is like, there's so much that I don't remember.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So then I guess my next question for our photographer friends who this sounds interesting to, and they're thinking, oh, you know what? I might want to put that in my toolbox and offer that to clients. How would, say, a family photographer or a newborn photographer, it seems like that would be a natural connection, newborn photography, birth photography, but how do you suggest they take steps to pivot if they want to go into the birth photography?
I think that first it's deciding, do you want to pivot to birth photography? Is this what you want to be known for and specialize in? If it's something that you want to add in and it's not something you want to be known for or specialize in, I would reach out to my existing clients, my newborn clients, my family clients, and let them know this is a new genre that you want to explore and offer them an incredible deal in exchange for images that you can use in a portfolio and to get experience. Mm-hmm. If you're thinking, I think I might want to specialize in this, I think this is a niche that I want to be known for, it would be the same advice of just reaching out to your inner circle, reaching out to your network of people and letting people know like, hey, I want to get involved in birth photography. I think I might want to specialize in this. Can you help me? Do you know anyone who's pregnant who might be willing to let me use their images in my portfolio for an extremely discounted rate? And mm-hmm. I think once you get a couple of births under your belt, you'll start to really see like, okay, is this something that I want to pursue and can pursue?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I could talk about this all day because I do find it very, very interesting, but I don't want to take up too much of your time. But what Tavia is not telling you in all of her explanations here is the fact that she actually trains birth photographers how to do this, and she has a certification. Wow.
There you go.
A certification program that they can go through so they can be better prepared to serve clients well in this particular genre. So we're going to put all those links of how to reach her and get in contact with her on the show notes page. But Tavia, tell people where they can find you if they're more interested in learning more about what you do and also how you can help photographers get into the genre.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a podcast called From Better Half to Boss Photography Podcast, and it's all about really marketing. And we do talk a lot about birth photography, but marketing strategies that I used to retire my husband from his full-time job with my photography business. You can find that wherever you listen to podcasts. I also have a Facebook group that is birth photography specific. If you just search The Beauty in Birth, you can find about 5,000 other birth photographers there, and I'm hanging out there every single day. So I'd love to connect with you there.
Great. We will also link those resources on the show notes page, which you can find at focalpointspodcast.com, so that you can link through and have all that information at your fingertips, including social media handles for Tavia and all that stuff, so you can be in touch. So thank you so much for opening the door and letting me learn a little bit more. I know it's just a tiny, tiny tip of the iceberg about what you do and a little bit more about birth photography, because I think it is something that can be so incredibly specialized, but it's such a great service for people who want to capture that such important day for their lives and then also for their children's lives that are being born. Because, you know, my daughter asks me sometimes, well, what did you look like when you were headed to the hospital, or how did this work? And if you do it well in a beautiful, beautiful way, it's a nice way to be able to tell that story in your family lives. And I love the way that you approach that. So Tavia, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hey everyone, I hope you've enjoyed the program. I have a quick request. If you've enjoyed this program or enjoyed other programs that we've brought to you courtesy of Focal Points and InPhoto, I would love for you to head over to Spotify or iTunes and leave us a review. These help us more than you know when it comes to getting the word out about the program and how we can help other photographers who might be dealing with some of the same struggles that you are. We appreciate your time. We appreciate your review today.